Hello, everyone, and welcome to Soul by the Pound podcast. I'm excited about this interview today. We have an amazing guest, Kamisha L. Jones. Hey, Kamisha.
Hey, China.
I am so excited to have you on the podcast. We've met before. I've always been a big cheerleader and advocate of your organization. So before we begin, I definitely want to introduce our audience to you. So can I start off with your bio?
Yes, you can.
Yes. Let me tell you this. My favorite part of the show, Kamisha, is when I get to like read the bio. I just like bragging on amazing Black women. So I always start it off to set the scene. So let me get into it. So Kamisha L. Jones, LCSW, is a community mental wellness changemaker who serves at the intersection of culture, community, and social justice. She is executive director of Sister IAFA Community Mental Wellness, a social enterprise which provides mental wellness care that centers the experiences of Black women in Chicago. She's started around 2017 and they've served over 1,000 Black women through their innovative community-driven programs. In 2020, she launched Sister IAFA Community Care Not-for-Profit. It's a not-for-profit that provides free mental wellness care and education to women experiencing multiple barriers for care, in which they reached over 1,500 women in Chicago as well as abroad. Kamisha's work with Sister IAFA has been featured in the Chicago Tribune, Vogue magazine, Allure, TED Talks, as well as Rolling Out. Kamisha is a licensed clinical social worker in Illinois who has graduated from Spelman College with a bachelor's in sociology, as well as she's received her master's in social work from the University of Chicago. Kamisha strongly believes in eliminating barriers in the mental health field that allows people of diverse cultural backgrounds to experience by providing affordable and accessible care, as well as taking care of the whole holistic view of the well-being of the person. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have you on the show, and I can't wait to dive into these questions. And I gotta ask you, because I, observed your organization for some time now, and I never asked you this question, but really, how did you get your start in doing this work?
Yeah, well, thank you, China, for having me on the podcast. So I got started doing this work from two places. One, personal experience, but also from just seeing and identifying other Black women who were also in a similar boat as myself. So I am a mental illness survivor. And for those who have never heard that term, what that means is that, I was diagnosed with a mental health condition, but through therapy, through, work, internal work, through self-care, I was able to survive and overcome it. So that is kind of like what initiated me to start Sisafios, because when I was in my mental health recovery, I really did not see any spaces out there for young Black women in Chicago. Yeah. And so I felt, alone, I felt isolated, and I had thought to myself, like, there are probably other women out there who are going through something similar as me and are also looking for that space. Mm-hmm. So after I graduated from the University of Chicago with my degree in social work, I felt like I was uniquely positioned to have the personal and professional experience to create a solution to what I was encountering, but also what I know so many other young Black women were encountering. So that is how Sister IAFA got started. This year is our 7th anniversary. So we were founded in 2017 and, have really risen to being, a leader in Black women's mental health in Chicago and nationally, but really with an emphasis on supporting Black women from a community standpoint.
I absolutely love it. Yeah. It's so amazing how, number one, congratulations on you not only just coming out of something like that, but then utilizing your experience to help other women. I think that is like God's work. I love when stuff like that happens where, you know, out of a trial or a tribulation, we kind of see that it not only turns for the good, but you also use that to impact other women. So I do want to congratulate you on that. But I remember when I first heard of your organization, and at the time I was like, man, this is so necessary and it's so needed, because for a long time there's been a stigma, and it still is a bit of a stigma when it comes to Black women addressing and talking about our mental health. And when I first started Soul by the Pound, it was just so much focused on like the physical aspect of weight loss and like getting healthy. And slowly, you know, from just some of the events that we had to now the podcast, the shift has definitely been mental health, because I think we as a whole forget how much that impacts everything. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yes. I believe that a lot of our outcomes start in the mind, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether we choose to work out or not, you know, whether we feel motivated or encouraged, or whether we're able to do things like concentrate and work. I mean, there's so many things that are connected to our minds and connected to our mental and emotional health. So I definitely, you know, see as what you're saying, that we really can't talk about physical wellness without talking about mental wellness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we forget also how many of these, how all of these things are so interchangeable, like from the foods we eat, how they impact our mental health, and like understanding what mental illness is. Like, it's just so many different factors. And I'm so happy that your organization is addressing this heads on. What is it that really keeps inspiring you to keep going with this work? Because you guys have stuff for teenagers. You have so many different unique programs, which I definitely want you to touch on. But what really is it that inspires you to keep going?
What inspires me to keep going is our community. I don't know what people are aware of how much, mental health providers, how much we take in, and also how much is needed. And when we're working with people who, are having struggles with their mental health, they're in a very, very vulnerable space. So it's not just a mental labor, it's an emotional labor, but it is a labor of love. And what inspires me to keep going is to see women who come to Sisafia, who engage in our services, who build a community of support, and their lives are so much better, that they're able to accomplish and see themselves in a way that they hadn't seen either before or not for a very long time. So, you know, when I get weary or if I get tired, I'm like, oh, can I keep going? Or my team, you know, can they keep going? What keeps us grounded is knowing that the work that we do is vital, and that there are women's lives who benefit and women's lives who are changed because we're here and because we exist.
Absolutely. And I want to go back to what you, what was stated in your bio about helping not only just women in Chicago, but also abroad. That is amazing. Like, to be able to have that reach and that impact, I'm sure that is definitely one of the joys of doing the work that you all do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the pandemic, you know, it was a very difficult time, and we still have not recovered from everything that's happened. But with the pandemic, we had to be virtual. Everything mm-hmm. had to be online. And so what that opportunity afforded us was to provide virtual, you know, groups and classes and all these things that could reach women. All you needed was a computer or a phone, and you could, you know, join in with us. So in some of our events, we've had women in Canada, we've had women in Atlanta, New York, California, you know, I mean, Alabama, Florida, I mean, any state that you can think of, we've had women engage with us. And so even though the pandemic was difficult, it helped to open us up even in focusing in more than just Chicago. Like, Chicago's home, Chicago is our priority, but I'm grateful that we were able to reach more women who don't have these services in their communities.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess that was the benefit of it, is being able to have that global reach online, which is so good. Now, during your journey, right, when creating your organization as well as just your personal journey, what are some things you wish you knew, like, sooner or earlier?
So I'll split that into two parts. So first I'm going to talk about personal and then I'm going to talk about business.
Okay.
So, personally, what I wish I would have known, before like having the challenges that I had with my mental health, that, it's okay to reach out for support. I think there were many instances when I was, you know, struggling that I thought I could handle it, which I think a lot of Black women feel like this thing is happening to me. I'm seeing some changes, but I got this and I can handle it and it's temporary. But the truth of the matter is that it was not. And I really am a big proponent of early intervention and early in prevention, because the sooner you get help with having a mental health condition, the less time it will take to recover. So even if we think about someone who's using substances, you know, if they start using it a month ago or 2 months ago, you know, it might be a easier for them to recover. But if they've been using substances for 10 years and never got help, the changes and the impact is going to be more substantial to overcome. It can still happen, and I see it every day, but it's harder. It's harder work and it's longer work. In terms of business, what I wish I would have known is that I didn't have to grind as hard as I was grinding, because I am a high achiever, a workaholic, a perfectionist, recovering for all those things. I think part of the business's success has been a part of how I operate, but I also recognize that some of those things were actually detrimental to me, in my health and my well-being. So I am more now than ever, and a big proponent of working smartly and working, you know, in such a way where you can make an impact, but you're not depleted or you're not mm-hmm. overextending or overstretching yourself. So those are some things that, like, I wish I would have known from, like, a personal and a business perspective.
That makes a ton of sense. I hear that so much. And I've shared that with my own therapist about just being high functioning, where you feel like you have to do, like, literally doing this, like the superwoman, the whole cake thing, you know, like trying to, like, do it to perfection and trying to take on so much. And then in turn, it ends up being the opposite of what you're teaching your community. You know what I mean? Like, putting everything on. So that makes complete sense. Now, I will ask you this. Tell, because I know some of our listeners are familiar with your organization, but maybe you could tell some of the new listeners, like, what are some of the services? Because I always see you moving and shaking and really just providing so much online support, but also having consistent programming. Do you want to share with our listeners just a little bit more about the organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're based in Chicago, as previously shared, and we offer a wide range of mental health services. So our approach at Sister Afia is very holistic and community focused. So we offer individual therapy. We have a team of dynamic Black women mental health providers. So everybody on our team is very well versed into the needs of Black women. We constantly are training our staff to be abreast of just certain things that are coming up that are issues that Black women are encountering with their mental health, or just stressors, you know, a different dynamics to be aware of. We also offer therapeutic groups. We offer wellness classes in partnership with Center Collective, which is also another awesome organization focused on Black women's mental health. We offer retreats. We we've done so many things. We do social events. Like right now, we're getting ready to launch a peer support program for Black women called Heal Together. So right. we really, yeah, like, so we, I mean, we're really about just like wrapping our arms around Black yeah. women and being like, look, we got you for wellness. We got you for friendship. We got you for, you know, individual therapy groups, like anything that could support you with your mental health. Like, we provide a lot of that. And one of the things that I'm really proud of was launching a nonprofit, so Sister Afia Community Care, which offers free mental health care services. So when Sister Afia Community Mental Wellness started, we operated more like a private practice. And we were doing some community-focused events, but we were encountering so many women that said, hey, you know, I love what you all do, but I can't afford it, right? Or income restrictions mm-hmm. is a huge barrier. And so to respond to that need and the, you know, mental health and equity affecting Black women in Chicago, I was like, let's just go ahead and create a nonprofit so everybody can come to Sister Afia. So,
And I want our listeners to hear that. Put an exclamation point on that offer free services, but keep going. I'm sorry.
No worries. So we have a podcast. I mean, we just got so much stuff. So I really encourage people to, you know, go to our website, sisterafia.com, and just check out what we have going on, because there might be something that like really piques your interest. Or, you know, if you or anyone else, you know, who's looking for mental health care, you know, we can be a resource.
Let me ask you this, because you do a lot of like groups, as you mentioned, like the therapeutic groups, as well as individualized counseling. And what is the tactic, just for our listeners who are not familiar with therapies or group sessions, or like, what are some of the tactics or tools that you provide some of these women so that they can kind of, because sometimes, to be honest with you, it might be hard for people to be transparent or to open up. What are some tools that you're, and I know this wasn't an original question, but I just was thinking about it. What are some tools or ways that you really get these women to open up? Because I can imagine thinking about some of these barriers, it can be probably hard a little bit in the beginning for them to be open and acclimated to these types of groups.
Great question. So one of the things that we learned very, very early on is we had to have groups that were intriguing for people. Mm-hmm. And so everything from the title to the branding, like everything had to really intrigue or get people to say, hey, I think I need to come to this. So, for example, I facilitated a group called Burnout Recovery. And so, you know, how many people do we know, Black women we know, who are like, I'm burnt out, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed. And mm-hmm. so if somebody sees something like burnout recovery, oh, like I'm burnt out, like that can intrigue me. Or having a group called Mind Over Money. So two of our therapists created a financial wellness group called Mind Over Money. When you see that, you're like, oh, what's that about? Like, yeah, and so we tied in, you know, mental health and financial wellness. Even our drop-in support group is called Uplift. So it's like, I'm coming to Uplift, right? So it's every title, everything that we do is very intentional, because we know how hard it is for people to show up. Mm-hmm. We know how difficult it is to be in a room or a space of people that you do not know and to talk about some things that are really difficult. In all of our groups, we provide psychoeducation, which is a mix of like psychological interventions and just general education about certain topics. And then we also do discussions, we do games, activities. So pretty much anyone who comes to a group or even our wellness classes, everybody walks away with something tangible that they can use to support their well-being. Which is what I love. I'm a very action-oriented person, so I can't stand, you know, going to an event and someone's talking for 2 hours. Like, why am I here? Like, I need...
I gotta get up and move. Yeah. I gotta do something.
Right, exactly. So I'm very, I love the engagement piece. Like, how can we bring people into the space and for them to feel like they're a part of what's happening?
I love that. I love that. Okay, one more question that wasn't an original question, but my little light bulb is going off, and I do this sometimes. But when you talk about sustainability for some of this, so we have women who are joining and they're like, they're moving, they're getting active. What are some tools and strategies so they could sustain it even when they're not in these group sessions? Because I can imagine, like, okay, I come to this dope event, they have a cool name, it's a group of women, like, it feels like a big hug. But like, when I leave, and I'm just saying this more so too because I want our listeners to hear some of these tools so they can be like, okay, I need to join a group and I need to know what to do after. But like, how do you encourage them as well as provide them solutions for them to sustain it outside of the group? Like, I'm sure that there's like, you know, they build relationships, but what are some ways that you all do that?
So one of the things that we encourage all women, can I pause real quick? I'm sorry, there's
a pack.
Okay, cool. So with the groups, like, we really encourage like Black women to have like almost to build their own mental health maintenance in between groups. So like, what was talked about that you can actually, you know, implement in a manageable way after.
I like that.
Because you, and I get exactly what you're saying. You come to these groups, you come to these different things, and then you get inspired, you get information, and then you don't really implement it. So we really encourage people, like, maybe there's just like one thing you learn from this group that you want to try. What was interesting, a group that I recently facilitated, Making It Through Winter, which focused on seasonal depression, which is huge in Chicago. Like, you know, China, like.
Yes, yes, yes.
Huge, huge.
And so, yeah.
Nobody's coming outside, right? And so, like, the participants in the group, you know, I was very action-oriented. I'm like, okay, we're going to talk about seasonal depression, but we're going to vision. We're going to actually identify what we want our lives to look like outside of this group. And so each group, it was like, okay, we know that when we get depressed, we just want to stay in one spot. We don't want to move. We just kind of go inward. What can you do to open yourself up? What are opportunities that you can have to engage with others or to engage it outside of your home so that you're not feeling as down or really as impacted? So that's just an example. But as I shared, we're very action oriented and wanting people to be open to trying new things and just to see what works for them.
You're actually very forward thinking too, to be like, okay, winter is coming up, let's be proactive. Because I think, I know one of my, on my journey with therapy, one of my successes has always been being prepared before it happens. You know, like, okay, this is how I'm feeling. Okay, I go to this, or this is how I'm feeling, I go to that. You know, so you definitely, I like that, how you guys are really proactive, and that definitely increases sustainability. So people know what to do and they have the tools to build their own, I guess we do say like first aid kit, you know what I mean? Whenever you feel a certain way. So any final thoughts or anything that our guests can expect from you next? I know you guys are doing a ton of things, but anything that you want to touch on?
Yes. So one of the things that I am focusing on now that I'm not doing as much like individual therapy as I used to. So I'm really focusing on trainings and groups. So I am facilitating a training. I'm not sure when this episode will come out, but I'm facilitating a training on Black women in chronic stress on March 22nd. So if you're in, if you're in Chicago and you're really looking to get, you know, training on very Black women specific issues, I'm your girl for that. So that's something that I'm moving into more. We, for the nonprofit Sisafia Community Care, we are launching a peer support model called Heal Together, which will focus on providing women with the opportunity to not necessarily have like the full therapy experience, but they're able to talk to someone with lived experience of living with a mental health condition. And that person helps to support them along their journey, whether it's with connecting them to resources, being a source of encouragement and support, and doing some brief counseling. So we're really, really excited about that, because a lot of times people are like, I need to talk to a therapist, right? Or there's not enough therapists. But what a peer support model does is it's in the middle. It's saying, hey, I'm someone who has lived experiences. I'm trained in, you know, some basics about mental health, and I can support you to determine what's going to be best for you. And then some people don't want to talk to a therapist. They rather talk to
a peer,
you know, their grandma, their aunt. Yeah, they want to talk to somebody who gets them. And so what the peer support model does is it breaks down that professional barrier that is still very present in the mental health care field, and making mental wellness care and support accessible to anyone. And you don't have to be, you know, go to school all these years and get your license to do it. So that's something I'm really excited about. And then lastly, focusing on teens. So we received a grant from Michelle Obama's Girls Opportunity Alliance in December.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So with that grant that we received, we are going to be providing free therapy to Black girls. We're partnering with two organizations, Girls in the Hood and Mean Girls Empowerment, and we're opening it up to the public. And we're also going to have these vibe days where Black girls can come and have a day full of wellness and community building and fun. So our first vibe day will be on April 27th. Okay. And so if you got a Black girl, and it's free. So if you have, you know, a girl that is looking for community or just something just to get out of the house, but being in a space where women are really dedicated to their mental health, that is definitely going to be an event that you don't want to miss.
Oh, I love it. We'll be sure to include all of those dates, because this will come out this will actually come out in the second week of March. So I will be sure to make sure that we include a link to your site as well as any registration information, because I'm sure those listeners that are in Chicago definitely want to take advantage of this and also recommend a friend. Like, we gotta share mental wellness with our friends.
You know what
I
mean?
I actually had a friend say to me this morning, she was like, we need more activities with friends that don't include going to sit down to eat. And I'm like, as you know what I mean? Like, I definitely agree with that. And when you think about like stuff about mental wellness and all this, your friends, sometimes your friends know what's going on. So it does feel good to take your friend and just enjoy those type of activities together. So I love that you are keeping the events coming. So kudos on that.
Yes. Yeah. You'll never know what's coming next. We're always innovating, always creating. And that's the beauty about like entrepreneurship and the beauty of just the space that the mental health industry is in, is that everybody's creating, innovating, because we didn't necessarily have a blueprint, or the blueprint they gave us didn't work. So,
hello,
you know, yeah, it didn't work. So now it's like, it's up to us, you know, as, you know, whatever background you're from, is to make what you don't see, right? To make something or create something that you know will properly address the needs of your community. So, like I said, we're always going to be coming with something new.
I love it. You know, I think back to like, I'm sure not only 7 years ago, but now there's still so much space that is needed for us. And I'm so happy that's why I love this podcast, because not only do I get to just brag on Black women, but I really get to showcase a lot of organizations that a lot of us did not know existed. Like, we need these, and there's a place for them as well. So this is always makes me happy on this podcast. So my next final part of the interview, which is one of my favorite parts, is the Soul Star tip. So A Soul Star tip is basically something that our listeners can put in. It's an action item that our listeners can put into immediate action after listening to this interview. So I got to ask you, Kamisha, what is your Soul Star tip for this episode?
So my Soul Star tip is to feed your spirit. My Soul Star tip is to feed your spirit. I think us as Black people, you know, we are deeply, you know, spiritual people. We have different beliefs, different backgrounds. But in the conversation about mental wellness, I don't want there to be a missing link, which is spiritual well-being. Yeah. And so whatever you need to do to not just nourish your body, not just nourish your mind, but to also just nourish your spirit and your soul is so important. I recently, you know, after being disconnected in some, you know, in some ways over the years, finally, all this time I've been in Chicago, finally found a church home. And just to join a church and to have like that spiritual covering and that spiritual support in that community, it just fills me up so much. And I really encourage people, even if you, you know, whatever belief you have, but just making sure that you're taking care of that as well.
I think so too. I'm glad you touched on that. That was a really good Soul Star tip to feed your soul, because we could focus so much and get into a regimen of just, okay, my physical health, okay, this job, these kids, my spouse, like, you know, like we become machines and we forget the spiritual aspect. And I also think some people also tend to forget that the spiritual as well as mental health can exist in the same place. So I'm so happy that you touched on that as well. Kamisha, this was a really good episode, and I really enjoyed talking to you and connecting, and I really can't wait for our listeners to find out more about yourself. I see you on my LinkedIn all the time. I'm like, oh, she is really popping. So the events out. I was away in New York for 6 years, so I'm back now. So I'm definitely gonna make sure I make my business. Yes. So I'm gonna make sure I'm making my business to get out to one of your events that's coming up this spring. And I thank you so much for joining Soul by the Pound podcast today.
Thank you so much, China, for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. Oh, before we go, really quickly, can you provide, because you'll be having gems on your social media, can you really quickly give our listeners your Instagram as well as your website so that they can definitely follow up?
Yes. So our Instagram is Sista Afia, and that is spelled Sistaafya. So that is our handle on Instagram and Facebook. If you want to follow me on LinkedIn, I don't have a personal Instagram or anything like that, but you can follow all of my updates about Sisafia on LinkedIn. And my name is Kamisha L. Jones. So, that's how you can get connected on social. And then our website is www.sistaafia.com, where, you know, you can learn about everything that I talked to China about. And I hope to connect with you all, you know, at one of our events or with some of our services in the future.
Oh, sounds good. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. And keep up the good work, sis.
Thank you.
Take care. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to Soul by the Pound podcast. Hope you enjoyed the episode, and I will catch you the next time.